Welcome, everybody, to Boxing History 101 on the Grueling Crew Sports Network. Today, we're going to look at the movie Hurricane and look at all the falsities and the outright lies that were in that movie that made Hurricane Carter, who died in 2014, out to be more of a martyr or a hero. And that is just simply not true. And as Hollywood often does, it's almost completely fabricated, the movie. So, before we get to that, I want you to like, subscribe, hit the bell notification button on YouTube. Make sure you go check out BetMGM, the best spot for betting on all your sports needs. Make sure you check out BetMGM and follow us at Grueling Truth. All right, so let's get to the real story of the movie Hurricane, Hurricane Carter, Norman Jewison, who made the movie. Now, if you really want to know the truth about Hurricane Carter, you don't go to a movie house or rent it on a DVD or stream it. You could go talk to a guy like Joey Giardello, who was a former middleweight champion of the world who beat Hurricane Carter in 1965. Now, I've read a bunch of stuff here on Hurricane Carter. I've done all the research. I've interviewed people. I have read all the newspaper clippings. In one clipping I came across, Joey Giardello was asked what he thought of Hurricane Carter. And he said nothing, nothing at all. Now, we're talking as a boxer. And Giardello beat him very easily. Of course, that movie changed that. But to say nothing at all doesn't mean Hurricane Carter wasn't any good. Joey Giardello is a guy who beat Tiger Jones, Holly Mims, Billy Graham, Dick Tiger, a guy named Sugar Ray Robinson. And if it wasn't that big a deal to fight Hurricane Carter, because Hurricane Carter had 40 professional fights, he got beat by 12 guys. Hell, most of the guys that beat him couldn't have touched Joey Giardello. But in this movie, there are so many falsities that make him out to be a hero when he's really not. Now, Hurricane Carter was an upstanding individual, railroaded by a racist judicial system in general and one racist detective in particular. B was that his vindication was obtained through the efforts of some crackpot Canadians. And C, that he was the victim of a racist hometown decision that night against Giardello and should have left Convention Hall in Philadelphia with the middleweight title. All three of those statements I just made are completely and utterly false. None of them are true. If you've ever seen the fight, with Joey Giardello, which you can find on YouTube, Joey Giardello whipped his ass, probably won 10 or 11 rounds at least. He dominated Hurricane Carter. Now, it's bad enough that filmmakers, in particular director Norman Jewison, choose to cut out the real heroes of the story. And they feel a need to reinvent villains. You know, a white, racist, Italian-American cop who hounds Carter from boyhood, the age of 11, supposedly, and finally railroads him on a false murder charge. That man never existed. It never happened. There was nobody following 11-year-old Reuben Hurricane Carter around, trying to get him in trouble, and then finally arrested him. Now, as a boxing fan, the thing that's most objectionable to me is the way they portrayed Joey Giardello as, like, you know, he was a guy who lost his title but got to keep it because he was an Italian-American. And let's face it, in this political, PC culture, a white racist Italian-American cop who hangs Carter from boyhood and finally railroads him on a murder charge, and an Italian-American like Giardello who it just blows my mind, guys, that things like this are made up. It's like the movie Rudy and the way they make Dan Devine look when it's really not true. Or remember the Titans with all the falsities and lies in that movie, or We Are Marshall, The Invincible with, Mark Wahlberg or whoever it was. And when we look at this, the bad thing about it is they change history. It's like when Hurricane Carter died in 2014, everybody was like, the saint who was wrongly accused finally laid to rest. That's simply not the case. And when you dig deeper and you look at the things that actually happened, you can start off with Denzel Washington while playing him. He made a statement at the Golden Globes in 2000 that Reuben Hurricane Carter was a man of love. A Man of Love. Now, the thing you'll notice about that, if you go back and watch the Golden Globes Award at that time, is Carter nervously, you know, wringing his hands, managing a meek smile as Washington spoke so glowingly, patting him on the back. But that's just not the case. You know, but how could you dispute Denzel Washington's characterization? He's Denzel Washington. You know, this paragon of love, Hurricane Carter, who once beat up people for a living, had long since transformed a life of violence, including a 19-year spell in prison, into a crusade for justice, prompting Washington's award-winning Hollywood, you know, the people that just worship that shit, to take a man and say he was falsely accused, falsely convicted by a corrupt and racist system. You know, I mean, everybody eats that up nowadays. But Carter's past wasn't simply a story of love triumphing over hate. There were messy details his supporters, screenwriters, and his obituary writer alluded. In 1964, a Saturday Evening Post profile of the up-and-coming fighter reported that society had already confined Carter for a total of 10 years for crimes of violence. Now, this is before the murder, right? The Newark Star-Ledger, his hometown newspaper, later explained that he was sent to reformatory for breaking a bottle over the head of a man from whom he stole a wristwatch at $55. He's all about love. He confessed to the Post in 1964 that my partner and me used to get up and put our guns in our pockets like you put your wallet in your pocket. But then we go out in the streets and start fighting anybody, everybody. We used to shoot at folks, he bragged and laughed in the same interview that he had once knocked out an uncooperative horse with a single punch. Now, Bob Dylan sang that Carter, you know, in that infamous song for her, you know, Hurricane, that Bob Dylan did in the late, I think, mid to late 60s, saying that Carter wanting nothing more than to go where the trout streams flow, the air is nice, and ride a horse along a rail. While failing to mention his penchant for knocking the fuck out of a horse every once in a while. I mean, he assaulted a horse. But he is a man of love, right? He was wrongly convicted, right? He was set free, right? Was he set free because he was not guilty? But it was in 1966 when Carter, who along with an accomplice, was accused and later convicted by a jury of a gruesome triple murder in Paterson, New Jersey. After a campaign to establish his innocence was promoted by supporters like Muhammad Ali, Carter was paroled in 1976 and granted a new trial. A brief spell of freedom during which he knocked out a 112-pound woman running his Free Reuben support committee. As she told the network Newark Star-Ledger in 2000, I didn't see it coming. I felt everything getting dark. I remember praying to Allah, please help me. And apparently Allah rolled me over and he kicked me in the back instead of kicking my guts out. Allah saved my life. So basically, this 112-pound woman he knocked out while he was out free on parole until they had his second trial. The second jury upheld his conviction, guys. So the Hurricane was not always a dealer of love. It was something he managed only after his release from prison, to which he was confined, according to Dylan, for something he never done. It was that song from 1975. A brilliant 8-plus-minute attack on Carter's persecutors and police prosecutors that helped push the case from the ghetto of radical media into the public consciousness. Almost all of the detail was wrong, but it's still the only detail anybody remembers. Now, when Carter's death was confirmed in 2014 by John Artis, the man tried and convicted as an accomplice in the Paterson shootings, the internet offered encomiums. You know, these raving Twitter RIPs and broad condemnations of the criminal justice system, which a lot of times the criminal justice system does deserve. Now, Mike Tyson, another boxer who spent time behind bars, you know, exiting humbled and chastened with an image of genocidal maniac Mao Zedong tattooed on his stomach, tweeted, "We lost a great man today. Reuben Hurricane Carter, the boxer who was wrongfully accused and became a symbol for racial injustice, RIP. I call BS. I have no doubt that Paterson, New Jersey was stuffed to the gills with racists in 1966. But I still have suspicions that Hurricane's versions of events and the ubiquitous media claim that he was wrongly convicted is not exactly true. Now, to be clear, Denzel Washington's film version of Carter's life is so fanciful that a contemporaneous New York Times account cataloged a contorted history, the major fabrication of certain events, and the elision of various uncomfortable details surrounding the case. Vaunted lefty liberal journalist Jack Neufeld complained that, "I knew Reuben Carter. I attended these fights, covered his retrial, and I didn't see much reality on the screen." While also stressing that the judge who vacated Carter and Artis's two convictions did not say they were innocent. Did you hear that? The judge that overturned or vacated the two convictions did not say they were innocent, only that their rights were trampled on. In 2000, another New York Times writer reminded readers that Mr. Carter was never exonerated. He was released in 1985 when a federal judge ruled that there had been procedural errors during the second trial, and prosecutors decided not to try him a third time. This wasn't because a bunch of hippies in Canada set him free with some evidence they dug up on their own. It's bullshit. It's not true. All right, if you don't believe me and you want to believe all the, go check the newspapers from back in that day. Go check the way it was reported. I'm not saying Curtis King Carter was guilty. I'm just saying that we don't know he was not guilty because that was never tried. And I know that a lot of times, especially in the 60s, people could do something, you know, especially white cops to a black man. But when you look at the mounting evidence and you read through all the hearing stuff, all the newspaper clippings, interview people that had something to do with it, you'll see that this is not really that a clear-cut case that he was wrongly convicted. Now, the distinction here is important and is one that rightfully liberated Carter from prison, okay? But it created a wrongful conviction of procedure, not of evidence. Cal Deal, who covered the trial for the Herald News, a local paper serving Paterson, New Jersey, has amassed a vast online archive detailing the case against Carter, concluding that the two juries got it right. Perhaps this is why Bob Dylan never performed Hurricane live again after a 1976 benefit concert for Carter. Princeton professor and Dylanologist Sean Willens points out in his terrific 2010 book, Bob Dylan in America, the singer had a long since abandoned Carter when he was finally released from prison in 1985, while noting that simple sincerity of the protest song, one that easily, perhaps too easily, trusted the boxer's version of events. Now, unfortunately, many skeptical accounts of Carter's story exist in the gutters and fields and fetid swamps of the internet, promoted by crackpots with far more sinister concerns than Hollywood's version of the truth. And I suspect more readers understand that historical films routinely and radically transform complicated and nuanced historical narratives into simple parables. And while viewers who believe Hurricane should be treated as a reliable history are probably beyond help, I mean, just to look at Twitter to see, you know, the effects Washington's portrayal had on Carter's reputation, Hollywood is happy to assist in leading them astray with that slippery phrase, based on a true story. By almost all accounts, Carter did lead an exemplary life upon leaving prison. You know, he helped wrongfully convicted people while still carefully curating his story of his own past. And while it's important to know if he pulled the trigger on three innocent people that night in 1966, it's important to remember that this case was an obvious case of injustice. And Carter wasn't always about love. Now, I don't know if Reuben Hurricane Carter did this or not. And I think this case, if you get really deep into it, it's really hard to figure out. There's a lot of conflicting evidence. And there's a lot of things here to make this really complicated. So this is more about Hurricane and wanting to make a man a martyr. But maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was a bad guy that killed people, or maybe just a bad guy and some bad cops convicted him and he got out 20 years or 10 years, 20 years later. But in the end, if you follow the movie Hurricane and you take that as the gospel, you're going to be sadly mistaken, guys, because it's just not true. You know, and you could go through and look at all these other movies where it just wasn't true. And I mean, it's great that you want to spice something up, make the movie more interesting. But if the story is interesting enough to have a movie made about it, maybe the story just needs to be told the way it was. So the one that really stands out to me is Al Stump and Ty Cobb. Al Stump was a drunken sports reporter in the early 60s just trying to get a book published. And he followed Ty Cobb around, and he lied completely about Ty Cobb. And it made people like Ty Cobb, or it made people hate Ty Cobb. It made him think he was this mean-ass racist. And he was a mean player on the field, but he didn't beat up a black man for being black. He didn't kill a black man. All that was complete bullshit made up by a drunken sports writer. 1963, in the late 80s, early 90s, they make a movie about it with Tommy Lee Jones to make him look even worse. And that man's reputation has been ruined forever when 90% of the stuff in that movie was completely false. So the thing we have with movies that are based on a true story is they have a tendency to actually change history because people aren't smart enough to realize that based on a true story means it is really not the true story. It's what Hollywood wants you to know. All right, guys, that's it for Boxing History 101. Make sure you check us out at Grueling Truth on Twitter. Make sure you like, subscribe, hit the bell notification button on YouTube. All right, guys, for now, I'm Mike Goodpaster. You've been watching and listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.